Bandit Country, written and performed by James Connor Patterson. For photographs and a glossary, please see the accompanying PDF, which you can download from your audiobook library. For Amy Walsh and my family, and in memory of Maureen Patterson Knee Parks. If I could sleep standing, I would wait here forever, become a landmark, something fixed for tug crews or seabound passengers to point at, an example of being part of a place. Douglas Dunn, Landscape with One Figure. Bamboo Land. As one put drunk into the back of a parent's car, seized it'd seem by the adolescent desire to be reminded of one's feelings, this morning saw me return to Bamboo Land near John Martin Gardens. I went alone, spurred as I had been in previous years by the cousin who supplied the Sprite bottle lung, the beer, the suite of cobbled furniture pilfered out of Skip's. Back then we'd sit for hours atop broken doors and pallets until one of us, suddenly compelled to danger, would gaze square into the bamboo void and bid the other jump, as though nothing at all would stop us. As though neither one had thought, like Orpheus, that to descend in order to retrieve might leave us head propped against the lyre, might see us ascend again with scuff marks wound beneath the skin and trailed by the scents of bamboo, oak and whin. May Queens. There we were at the barracks arch near Linenhall Square, looking, for all we were worth, like a couple of vaudeville performers in our ma's old Barbara Stanwyck shirtwaists and Revlon red lipsticks, me in my sister's Peter Pan collar blouse and dance-it-up heels. Fabulous to a fault, we spent the afternoon collecting pennies in a washed-out soup can, parading our broom-handled maypole like a banner, and readying our mates for placement on the canal's middle bank, where we'd Morris dance freely until we were called for tea. There we'd muddy our knees to set the thing straight, twisting this way, then the other, until we met at its base, and the eggshells plucked from yesterday's rubbish cascaded down our hawthorn coronets like rain, our folks entreating to good room virgins, mercy, mercy for their sins. You. At which point the saint lifted a fallen arrow and placed it in his alb, carrying it for miles until he reached the head of a desolate valley strand, whereupon, seeing only growths of sweetbriar in the mottled sand, he removed the thing and placed it in a small hole, invoking, though only the smallest of seeds, yet growing, shall become the tallest of all things, a tree. During which time the arrow split and a ewe burst slowly into life, ruffling the sweetbriar and Patrick's stole, pointing its way toward heaven and crying, "My God, this is where I'm rooted." Currents. Think of two young rapscallions launching their newspaper boat, as fragile as a May butterfly, down a flagstone culvert with a rusted grill. What wonders to see spricks the relative size of cattle hauled on board your unsteady vessel, and to journey, tin soldier, into a dark where the only source of natural light is the glare from a Starbucks takeaway cup. One dry tear punctuating bliss. Which is to say, no tear at all, prose fly, but a thought that threads the air like cracklure through a Michelangelo. This chipped plasterboard, this bay window. Those first few days in Liverpool, my heart was a tangle of unhoovered dog hair, and when I scrubbed the IKEA feldspar mugs so hard they shone like rondboss enamel, I felt you buzz into my reflection a moment and ask just what it was. This coffee-stained elegies on the inside pocket of my coat, this thing one feels for home, away from home, when, as Dunn has it, I have been, inside my head, falling in love, preparing this good life. About suffering.